Okay.
My question is, how do we make sure that we remember the urgency and priority from this life to our next life, so that we will continue training hard in it?
How can we have the urgency? Is it, how can we have the urgency to remind ourselves?
To our next life.
So one of the way is to always remember life is uncertain. One of the way is to remember life is very uncertain. Today we are here to listen to the Dharma. We do not know what will be happen tomorrow. Tomorrow maybe suddenly the sickness attack, or we meet with accident, or something misfortunate happened, that we lost all the property, we lost our health, we lost everything, that we have no more chance to listen to Dharma. So it's called reflecting the impermanence of life. So that to remind us, now is the time to practice the Dharma, and to reflect the uncertainty of next life as well. Next life, we are not sure. As long as we are Puttujana, as long as we are worthy person, we do not know where we will be reborn in next life. We may reborn in, let's say, in Arab, become an Islam, try to attack the Buddhism. We may reborn as Africa, never heard about the Dharma. We may reborn in very remote place. There's no chance to listen to the Dharma at all. So if you reflect in this way, then it can arouse your urgency to be more appreciative. Now we have time to listen to the Dharma. I went to USA very often. Many Americans told me that we are so hungry for the Dharma. Even I have been USA for 13 years. So they always told me, we are so hungry for the Dharma, because USA is basic Christian based, not Buddhism based. And most of the teachers are layperson. They are not so well trained as the monastic, because monastic spend whole life study the Dharma. But in USA, the lay person, they may have family life, you know, they may have, you know, worldly affair to attend. Not like Brother Tan. Brother Tan is special person. So his life sometimes is more, is very close to a monastic life, because he has free time to do all the Dharma work. So therefore, we Malaysian consider very lucky to be able to do dana, sila, listen to the Dharma talk, and bhavana. But the weakness of human nature is that because we can get this very easily, therefore we are not appreciative. We cannot appreciate, because so is we can get it very easily. Unless you lose it one day, you know how valuable it becomes. So try to avoid the weakness of human nature, and always remind yourself, now I have time to learn the Dharma, now I'm still healthy, now I have money, I have time, I have a good speaker, I have monastic, I have good sister and brother to support each other, I have to practice now. Don't delay. This is the way you can try to remind yourself. Okay, any other question? Yes?
I just want to ask, what I do in this life, in next life, I want still to become a Buddhist.
Okay. good aspiration. What should I do if I want to become a Buddhist in my next life? I think one of the important factors is to pray. To pray, I'm not telling joke, okay? Because when you pray, whatever action, good action you have performed, whether dana, sila, bhavana, you pray. Pray means make aspiration. You make aspiration, whatever life to be, before I attain arahantship, whatever life to become, to be, I want to be a Buddhist. So whatever life to be, I want to be a good Buddhist, meet with good person, a good teacher, and practice correctly. You make an aspiration, then your mind will incline to it, and your wish will be fulfilled. And Buddha say, to fulfill one's wish, there are four factors. Number one is generosity. Number two is morality. Number three is, if I'm not mistaken, learning knowledge. Number four is wisdom. If you possess these four factors, whatever you wish can be fulfilled. If you don't have these four factors, just pray is not enough. If pray enough, then Buddhism will become Christian. Same, pray for a God, everything can be fulfilled. No. We pray just to incline our mind to it. At the same time, we practice to direct our mind towards what we pray for. If so, you must process these four factors. Generosity, morality, learning. Learning means learning the Buddha's scriptures, and wisdom. Okay? Other question? Louder, it's okay. Louder, lah.
I just want to, out of curiosity, you say the Westerners, they start with meditation, but Asian cultures start with dharma. You know, do start with the bhavana. Why is it our Asian cultures is so dharma that they go to bhavana? The Western, they go to bhavana first.
Okay, good. Out of curiosity. Okay. Western, because Western is Christian based. Dharma is Buddhism's very basic practice. Westerner is advanced country, especially in USA, very luxurious. But now economic as going down. 13 years ago, when I go to USA, I never see a beggar. Now, last year, I go to USA, I see many beggars. In the Bodhi Monastery in New Jersey, every Saturday, they dispense the food to those who need. Most of the people come to receive the food are American. No Asian. So within the 10 years, American economy going, America economy going down. So many people become very poor. They need the support from the government. Okay. Anyway, this is the sidetrack. America itself is a rich country. People live in luxury. Even they come to receive the food, they drive car. You know, they drive big car to come and receive the food. Because without car, you cannot survive in America. America is a huge country. From one place to another place, without car, how are you going to take the food? Right? So their baker is high standard baker. So in America, they live in luxurious life. But their heart is very lonely, very, very lonely. So they have a lot of mental suffering also. They have a lot of mental suffering. Therefore, they want to find peace. Especially now, because now many people lost job. They want to find peace. The only thing, and they don't believe in God. Now they become like that. How can they believe in God? I do not say all. Many do not believe in God. So there's no way to get rid of the mental suffering. Then finally, they come to meditation. So when they come to meditation, they start to experience the peace, the stillness, the calmness, the tranquility of the mind, the happiness of the mind. Then they spread the news, then more and more people come just to find the peace. Asia different, huh? Asia, because Asia emphasizes a lot, especially Chinese, family is very important. For Asia culture, family is very important. We have good support from the family. In America, after 18 years, you go out from the house. You go, you find your own livelihood, you survive outside. Usually, family will not support when the son reaches 18 years old. And the parents also do not rely on the son and daughters. The old parents are very independent. They do not rely on the son and daughter. In Asia, old idea, we give birth to son and daughter so that when we get old, they can take care of us. This thought never happened in American. I have one student, American. She followed me 13 years already. Her mother got cancer. So I advised her to stay with her mother, to take care of her mother. At that time, she was not working. After she lived with her mother for 2 years, her mother asked her to get out. Don't stay with me. He said, if you stay with me, I have no privacy, the mother said. So you see, very, very different from Asian family. Her mother is independent enough to take care of herself. She wants privacy, freedom. But in Asia, no. We never think of this. We just think that we must take care of parents when they are sick. So this shows that in America, they are very lonely. They have no family support. So when they come for meditation, they start to taste the peace of the mind, the happiness of mind. Then they appreciate. But in Asia, different. Asia, we have big family, you know. We are very busy with the family bond. Then we have no time for meditation. And we do not appreciate the peace and happiness from meditation as much as American. What we can do as Dana. Dana, because frankly speaking, Asian are more rich than you American. Asian more rich. American, those American, the car, the house, all mortgage. All mortgage. They rent from the government. They don't have property. Very few of them have property. But in Asia, we have a lot of property. So Asia comparative rich, and so we are able to do dana, and we like to do dana because compared with bhavana, dana is much more easy. Bhavana, you sit there 20 minutes, pain, so painful, here pain, back pain, shoulder pain all over the body. So in order to attract people, Asian, to come to learn bhavana, is very difficult. Sometimes I feel that we Asian are not intelligent enough. I do not say intelligent, not wise enough to appreciate the bhavana. You see, the Buddhism come from Asia, rooted in Asia, come from India, in Asia. And the essence of Buddhism is bhavana. Please remember. Dana, sila, bhavana. The essence of Buddha's teaching is bhavana itself. And we Asians do not know how to appreciate bhavana. The Americans know the best. Let's say you display variety of food. and the middle one is the best one. But we Asian pick the side one. American direct go to the middle one, the most important one. So I always feel we Asian not wise. 不够聪明啊。 外国人一看就知道这个是最重要的东西，他拿就拿最重要的东西去了。我们呢就拿到旁边的 brunch. Therefore, we Asian people must think twice. And one of the reason why, because I think because of the family bond, because you find happiness in family life already. You find happiness in your with your son, with your husband, with your sister, brother, sister-in-law, brother-in-law. Enough, no need bhavana. No need bhavana. But American, no, they feel very lonely. They have depression, misery of life. They want peace. They don't know, and that type of peace does not rely on other people. They want that type of peace. So this is a different. This is a different. Okay. Okay, I think we should stop here. Any the last question? Any question? The last question. I don't see the disadvantage. When they, it's just that they come from different direction only. Like American, they start with bhavana, then gradually they know, oh, must observe sila. Because when you learn the bhavana, your mind become very sharp, very clear. Then automatically you don't want to do evil things. Your mind does not allow you to do, because your mind become very sensitive. Any evil thing, if you do, the mind become very agitated. Then it affect your bhavana. So they will restrain. They refrain from doing all the evil things. Even though Buddha didn't teach them, don't kill, don't steal, but the mind just cannot kill already. Very gross action. So automatically they also will abstain from killing, stealing, and so on. Then gradually they also understand they must do dana. Because when they come to bhavana, people support them. Then they also understand, when I got money, I got to support other people as a token of appreciation. So I don't see this disadvantage. Okay?
When we practice meditation, we haven't reached the peace yet, but we already stumbled because very painful. So how do we overcome that?
Do you know Chinese?
Yes.
Okay. 不经一番寒彻骨，焉得梅花扑鼻香 In order to attain, highest happiness, you must suffer first. It's like that one. You must suffer. If you don't, they say no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. You must always remember this one. But for American, they very afraid of bodily pain. There's one way can help you. Sit on a chair. So American, most of American, they want to sit on a chair. They cannot fold leg, a lot of pain. So they sit on a chair, also they can attain good concentration. So if you're afraid of pain, you want to suffer, you can sit on the chair. That's the only way I can help, no other way. But those young people, try to sit on the floor. No pain, no gain. Okay? Okay. Can stand 10 minutes. Oh, okay. Okay, any other question?
Okay. Actually, in terms of understanding law of karma, a lot of time when good things happen, you know, we will claim that result of karma, but when
we claim what?
We will sort of like understand and acknowledge that law of karma is recurring, hence we are enjoying all the good things. But when things are not really good, in the sense that happening to us, and sometimes it seems like not because of us, not because of what we have done, it's a bit hard to accept that these unfavorable things happening to us. How can we change our mind in that sense to better accept?
I think this is the nature of human mind. Before I answer your question, let me tell you a story. I was in last 2 years, 3 years, I was in Indonesia. So one of the devotees told me that. He said that, sister, he said, Aya, many devotees, when they encounter misery in life, suffering in life, they will go to the monastery and ask the monk, why should I suffer like that? Why should I suffer like that? If the monk say, it's your karma, it's your karma, then they all change to Christian. They don't like to hear, I suffer because past life I done the wrong thing. They cannot accept. This human nature. If now you accept good, you say my good karma, oh very happy, past life, I have done good, so now I enjoy, very happy. This is the weakness of human mind. Just want to take the good one, reject the bad one. We must understand in this round of rebirth, even Bodhisattva who inspired to become a Buddha also do wrong. So in this round of rebirth, you cannot find anyone who have not done anything wrong in the past, including in the present life. So we do good sometimes we do bad because of no mindfulness, because of not enough knowledge. So in this life, what we have done wrong in the past sometimes ripening. The karma, the bad karma ripening, then this life, not certain period, not so smooth. We always say low karma. So we must accept. I think not accepting. Why people try to reject when their life meet with misery, they cannot recall the karma because they are not accepting. Accepting is very important. You only want to accept the good one, reject the bad one, then it's not realistic. Life is happiness and suffering, gain and loss. Always like that one. So in order to overcome this, you have to be more accepting. So sometimes when I meet with certain things, I understand low karma is happening. Just accept it. Accept it is one thing. You want to change it is also possible. Do more good karma. Quickly do more. Involve yourself in more wholesome deeds. Then you can change the low karma to the bad one. To the good one. As we say, we can change our fate. We are the owner of our own karma. Okay. So to be more accepting and put action to change the bad situation to the good one. Although you may say it's caused by somebody, nothing happened without cause. It's caused by somebody because in the past you have done him wrong, now he take revenge. So it's caused by somebody. But since you cannot trace to the past life, so you blame him, he caused you suffering. But maybe past life you caused him suffering, now he take revenge. We have to see in this way. If not, our hatred will never appease. Our complaint will never appease. If you only see it's other people's fault, not my fault, then your mind has no peace. But if you think that now he has done me wrong because past life I have done him wrong, fair enough. Then no more anger, no more grudge. This is called Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention. Okay. Okay.
Continuing with this karma, but I find certain. From my experience, I don't think everything we do is karma.
Yes. Not everything we do is karma. Uh-huh. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Maybe 70%, you know, 60% are karma. There are also some other factors. If everything is karma, mean fit already, cannot be changed already.
I have two questions.
Okay.
One question is about Buddhism reform. Okay. Do we choose to be reformed, or is the universe chooses to be reformed? Second question is, when the person who passed away, where does the soul go to, and where does the soul comes back?
Where does the soul goes to, and
where soul comes back to the same body?
Okay.
When you mentioned about karma.
Okay. The first question, who chose to be born? No one. Then why we are here? Why we are born here? Two reasons. Ignorance. Second, craving. Because of ignorant of what? Ignorant of Four Noble Truths. We do not understand the truth of suffering in life. We thought the life is full of happiness. Therefore, we crave for life. So ignorant of the truth of suffering of life, we crave for life. Craving, so ignorance is one, craving is another one. Because of these two root causes, we are born. Not universal truth. Not we choose. It's ignorance and craving are the root cause that we come here, or we come to heaven, or we come to become animal, and so on. So this answers your first question. Second question, when a person pass away, where the soul goes? When the soul comes back? In Buddhism, we never talk about soul. If we talk about when a person dies, the soul transmigrate to another body, this is called eternal view, which is wrong view. Eternal view, which is wrong view. Since we do not accept the soul, so we cannot say the soul comes back, right? Then who takes reborn? Who takes rebirth? If you study the Abhidhamma, this question will never appear. And since I'm Abhidhamma teacher, so I will answer you according to Abhidhamma's point of view. Okay. When a person pass away, when a person before dying, he can see vision. Sometimes he can see heavenly mansion. Sometimes he can see hell fire. Sometimes he can see beautiful flower, and so on. So depend on what vision he see before he is dying. If he sees a forest, suppose he's going to reborn as a monkey, he sees forest. Then this person taking the forest as object, and because his craving for life is not yet exhausted, and because his ignorant for suffering of life still there, still intact. So this person taking that vision, and because of ignorance and craving for life, these two factors push him to another new life. So taking that object, then he was reborn in new life. So this reborn in new life is only first one consciousness. We call rebirth consciousness. So rebirth consciousness take the vision, forest vision. Then rooted in ignorance and craving, and he was reborn as a monkey. Reborn as a monkey, monkey, according to Abhidhamma teaching, is only concept. Concept. What actually exists is only consciousness and matter, materiality. So the first consciousness is called rebirth consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness continue one after another. After rebirth consciousness, there's another type of consciousness, another type of consciousness. And consciousness is one arises after another. And at that moment, because his karma not yet fully exhausted, that karma also produces four elements in a new life. That four elements forms the body. Forms the body. And because of that karma, then he was reborn the four elements in monkey's body. So he became a monkey. And the consciousness continued to go on. So monkey is just a concept. What actually exists is four elements plus the mind. And these four elements plus the mind is the ultimate truth that continue going on. And this mind arise and disappear, arise and pass away every moment. So we cannot say it is a permanent self. And the four elements also arise and pass away every moment. So we also cannot say this four element is my permanent self. This is the ultimate truth. That's why no soul, no human, no he, no she. He, she, I is only concept. What ultimate truth is only arising and passing away of mind and four elements. So we practice insight is to see clearly what is this I. 我是谁呀? By practicing insight, we see clearly this I is just an illusion. It's not a real one. What is real, what is reality is only arising and passing away, constantly arising and passing away of mind and four elements. When you see, when you reach this experience, you don't believe soul anymore. Before we reach this experience, we believe there's a soul. Even Buddha's time, monks also believe there's a soul because they have not yet reached this stage of insight. Okay? This is a bit deep, huh? Okay, any other question? Okay.
Last question. How can we overcome our own boundaries and accepting others where some of us may be doing wrong in the daily life, in the process, bad attitude, wrong attitude?
Other people's wrong attitude.
Yeah. And how can we learn how to accept them and broaden our
boundaries? Good question. Compassion and understanding. Compassion and understanding, these two are the main basic teaching of the Buddha. The Lord Buddha, Sammasambuddha, come to the world based on these two. Compassion and wisdom. Wisdom means understanding. So when people do wrong, why they do wrong? Because they don't understand. Because they have no knowledge. Because they have no knowledge of law, karma. Because they have no knowledge of dharma. So because they are ignorant. So we don't see him as a person. We don't see him that he's very bad. He's very bad. He's a bad person. If you see like that, there's no compassion for him. We only see him out of ignorance. He done this misdeed. So we only see the ignorance. We do not see him as a person. Then out of compassion, because he's ignorant, so he deserves our compassion. He's ignorant, therefore he do wrong. So we must have compassion, sympathy to him. We send him loving kindness, hope he can meet with correct person, hopefully he can change. And we also have compassion because he is doing something wrong. Then when this bad karma ripen, he have to suffer. So when we see he has to suffer from his bad action, then we must pity him. We must have compassion to him. So if you can have these two, cultivate these two qualities, compassion and understanding, then you will not have any complaint or ill will to other people. Okay. Okay, now you start warm up already. Yeah?
Just
okay.
Based on this
brother's
question, that we know that he is ignorant,
yes,
and we just play our part as compassion, extending loving kindness, mm-hmm. and understanding. Do we need to help this person
if he listen to you?
If he doesn't,
then we have to practice equanimity. But mentally, you send loving kindness to him. You know, mentally, you also send loving kindness to him again and again, compassion to him again and again. But he still cannot be changed. Then finally, equanimity.
I mean that you send compassion is
with in the heart. Yes.
Yeah.
Free from suffering.
Do we really have to go, you know, tell him? No, it could be very close,
That's why I say, you must actually, compassion is not only mentally recite, oh, may you free from suffering, may you free from suffering. You actually render the help, right? Compassion, there are three stages, okay? The first stage is mentally, you want to help him. So you say, may you be free from mental suffering, may you be free from the resultant from your bad karma, again and again, but not enough. The second stage, you actually render the help. You take action to help him. But if he cannot be changed, no matter how much you want to help, he reject you, he cannot be changed, then you have to practice equanimity. Just let go of him. Let karma take care of him. This is the final you can do. But before you become equanimous, you must help him first. Only when he cannot accept what you are trying to help him, then you have to let go already. If not, you get yourself into trouble. No more last question.
Reserve for afternoon session. That's why we have afternoon session 2 to 4 o'clock at Neo Happy Garden. So brothers and sisters, join us and bring the heat and the warmth that you have here over the Happy Garden.
Yeah, you can go to Neo. I have one more session.
Brothers and sisters, let us.